Hello, friends. Welcome. I am so excited. I was very much looking forward to this conversation because this is a person that I admire personally so much. Our conversation did not disappoint. She is even better than I thought she was. So let's not waste another moment and let's get into my conversation with Morgan Harper Nichols. I'm Sharon McMahon. And welcome to the Sharon Says So podcast. I am absolutely thrilled to welcome you here today. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
If you are not already following Morgan Harper Nichols, you want her account in your feed. This should be a mandatory, like automatically followed when you join Instagram. Oh.
Wow. Well, that is a huge compliment. Oh.
Your work is incredible. Your artwork is absolutely mesmerizing. There is just some kind of intangible quality about it. Artwork is obviously difficult to articulate with words, how it makes you feel. So your artwork is incredible, but also your words are incredible. If you just had one or the other, I would still love it.
It's so funny that you say that because I'm always trying to figure out, like, if I had to choose one, which would I choose? And I can't decide. So I wish I could pick because it is a lot of work.
Oh my gosh.
Sometimes I'm like, can I cut the work down a little bit somehow?
Yeah, but I get it.
I haven't figured that out yet.
People who don't do the kind of work you do have no idea how much goes into it.
Regularly, every time I share like a little clip or something, I'll get someone that says, oh my gosh, I had no idea you were making the art.
Yes. Like, yes. Hello. I do. Who do you think is doing this?
Yeah. I'm like, it's me. It's me sitting there painting, drawing, sketching, the whole thing. It is a spiritual practice for me. Mm. And this is why I always encourage people like to just try doodling, like scribbling like you're a little kid, because that's something you have to kind of do by yourself and just kind of focus and be with the page and the pen. And yeah, it's just taught me so much, even just the actual physical art making process. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll probably always keep it in my life in some capacity.
Yes. Well, I mean, humans are creative by our very nature. Even people who are like, I'm not creative, I'm an engineer, you know, whatever it is. Are there any other animals that are out there engineering bridges across the water? Like, that's creative, right?
Absolutely.
Like, the human experience is to create. And I know you're a musician too. So some of us have those kind of like painting, writing, musical talents, and other people are creative in other ways.
Exactly.
But creativity is so important to being a human.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And like you said, like some ways that being a creative are more obvious. Like if someone paints or, you know, draws or writes poetry, they're creative. But, you know, I've seen creativity described in many ways. It's just bringing ideas together to make a new idea. And it's like, okay, yeah, we need that in every facet of society.
Yes,
like
100%.
We need people who are willing to say, okay, I'm going to contribute a little bit. You're going to contribute a little bit. Let's come together, see what we can make. And that's what art is. I'm inspired by poets, by writers, by painters, like musicians. And all I did was just like take little parts of how I've been inspired by all those people to put something together. And you can do that in any facet of your life, whether you're making a recipe or a lesson plan, like that exists everywhere. And that is creativity. So yeah.
Love.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
That. Okay, I have to know, how did you get started doing this? Like, what is the genesis of you posting your artwork and your poetry and your words? I gotta know.
Yes, I grew up in a very creative family, so I was encouraged to be creative since I was a kid. So that played a huge role. And I just so happened to be a teenager when the internet was kind of becoming a thing that people had at home. Mm-hmm. And I became very interested. And some people who are around my age, I'm 31, you might remember like when forums were a thing, there were these little things, like this is super specific, but if you're on a forum, they have something called a signature. We called it SIG. And you could design your own SIG to be at the bottom of every time you posted.
Yep.
So some people might have no idea what I'm talking about now, but it was like a whole thing. Like every time you post it, just imagine you're posting on Instagram and you have like a whole image that appears every time you post. So I used to design them for people for free. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea what software I use. I just thought about that. I did have Photoshop. I don't know what I used.
Paint.
Something.
Microsoft Paint.
It probably was Microsoft Paint. So I started doing that and I just loved making things and just sharing them with people. I'm autistic. So when I'm in the real world, it's very hard for me to kind of communicate in real time with people and to kind of engage. So as a teenager, I often felt left out. I often felt like I couldn't really engage with my peers in the way that I wanted to. So making art online, like starting at 14, 15 years old, that was a way that I could do that. And around that time, I started playing music. So I had like a MySpace page and I would just like upload my really lo-fi, low quality recordings. Some of them are still up there. I found them once and then I lost it. But yeah, they're on MySpace somewhere. From there, I was like, oh, what about photography? And I'm talking like, I literally had a flip phone, like taking photos. I was just so intrigued by like, wow, you can make something and share it with other people. And you don't have to be like this big personality. You don't have to like be the most popular kid in town. Like you can share something and find community and find connection. So I might not have used that language, you know, when I was 14, but that's what I was doing. So it started really young, but the thing is, it wasn't successful. I mean, I had all kinds of accounts and barely any followers for a significant amount of time. And it wasn't until about 10 years later, when I was 24, I started to get into blogging and I was just all over the map. I mean, I was writing about everything like, oh, here's some leggings that I'm wearing. Oh, here's what it's like being married. I'm in an interracial marriage. Let me talk about that. Like literally.
Right.
I was a preacher's kid. Let me talk about that. I guess I was just hungry for a connection. And I think that was a motivating factor as to why I kept trying.
Yeah.
Because in real life, I struggled so much to find those connections. And even when I was around like loving people and people who were kind to me and would invite me to things, because I didn't know I was autistic at the time, I just was really struggling. And I'm like, I just want to connect with people on a deeper level. And because I sometimes have a hard time doing that in person, I just kept trying all these different things. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until 2017, and that's when I was 27, I bought an iPad the year before and I just started to mess around with it. And I was just like, this is fun. Like I enjoy playing with this. And there's like all these cool brushes on here. And I was doing a little bit of physical art in my backyard, but it's something about iPad art that really stuck with me because there's an undo button. And, you know, when you're painting a canvas, there's no undo button. So it's like you mess something up. It's like a whole ordeal to try to fix
right.
it. But I was like, wow, I can like make mistakes. I can just like work on this, like laying in bed. Like, this is amazing. Why wouldn't anyone want to make art this way? Because a lot of the other renditions of trying to like make things and share them that I had done were much bigger productions. Like when I was in music, that's a whole production. You have to like hire like 3, 4, or 5 people to play the instruments on the song. And then you got to get the song mixed and mastered. Then you have to tour across the country and play the song. Like,
right.
A lot of steps involved in getting music out there. So I was just so fascinated by, wow, I can make art right here in my house with very limited resources, because income wise, I was struggling. I was doing a lot of freelance stuff, and, you know, I was still doing some music stuff, but music stuff wasn't as consistent as I wanted it to be. So I was just like, wow, this is something I can do. I don't have to like keep putting out money. I don't have to travel all across the country to make something happen. And it just brought me a lot of peace. It's interesting because this is the first time I've shared this. I just put it together. I found a voice memo on my phone where I was getting ready to go to a doctor's appointment. And I said in the voice memo, so like sometimes I would just like, if I had a thought while I was driving, I would just like turn it on the record before I started driving, and then I would just talk.
Sure.
So I was talking about, I think I could be autistic. Mm-hmm. That had been something that had come up in my family before with my parents. And I was just like, I want to talk to my doctor about it. I don't really know where to go with that. And I ultimately ended up going to the doctor, and he just really shot me down. And it took 4 years to find a doctor that would listen. So I was looking at the date that I did that, and that was around the time that I started my main project that ended up skyrocketing everything I did. So that's kind of the Cliff Notes version. I tried to make it a Cliff Notes version of the story and kind of how I got to where I am today.
I love it. Tell me more about an autism diagnosis. How has that changed things for you?
That's such a good question. It has been very pivotal in my life. I mean, it's just given me so much language for my experiences that I just did not have before. It's helped me find a lot of peace about different things in my life that maybe I felt bad about. For instance, like I've already mentioned, just friendships and socializing. Mm-hmm. And I've always like felt bad, like if I couldn't like be at an event, like as long as everyone else, or if people invited me to something and I'm just like, I don't know why. I just don't know if I can go. I don't know if I can do it. And not really knowing why. Like, did I not sleep enough last night? Am I stressed? And obviously sometimes, you know, those are obviously factors, but there's just a lot of little questions like that, that add up over time to this one bigger question of what's wrong with me. And I think that receiving the diagnosis for me was like, oh, now I know. And it's not even so much of what's wrong, but it's just like, here's what makes me me. And a lot of stuff in my life makes sense that I couldn't really find the words for before. So yeah, that's what it's looked like on like kind of a larger level. And then on a more practical note, this year has just been a full year of learning how to ask for help, asking for help with posting on my social media, asking for help with answering emails, with scheduling events and things, and with not being afraid or ashamed to ask if we can turn the captions on if we're watching the movie, because I need them. I need them to understand what's going on. So that part has been new because I don't like to ask for help. And I think that's something a lot of people deal with. It's hard to ask for help because that's vulnerability. You're putting yourself out there saying, I can't do this on my own and I need someone else to help me with it. And that's hard, you know? So that's kind of what I've been learning this year.
I can imagine how it suddenly, it could feel like a bit of a release to be like, actually, I don't need to feel bad about all those events that I didn't go to. I don't need to feel bad about when people invited me to their house and I just inside felt like, I can't do that. Yeah. You know, it gives you permission to step more fully into just owning who you are. This is who I am. And I don't need to apologize for it. And it doesn't mean I don't like you. This is just who I am.
Yeah, that's so key. I know for me, I don't think I realized how much of that I carried with me. Just little things, like just over the years, like it's hard to think about it. It's like, even if you're not consciously thinking about it all the time, it's those questions that kind of live in the back of our minds and then they end up coming up in our actions and in the present day. So it hasn't been easy, but I'm so grateful that I went on the journey of getting the diagnosis, because it has made a huge difference in my life. And then even sharing it, that has been a whole other experience, just because I've received messages about people who said that this has helped them pursue a diagnosis. And that was honestly like my biggest hope with sharing it. I was like, if this can just help one more person seek out another doctor like I did, that will listen to them, even if it's not about autism, even if it's something else, like that they need help with, but they're scared to ask for help because they've been shot down. They've been told that they were making it up or whatever it was. So I was like, if this can give someone else the courage of like, okay, I'm going to go to Google one more time. I'm going to try to find somebody one more time. Then that's what I'm doing it for sure. Mm-hmm.
Listen, I know if you pick up any kind of beauty magazine or you follow an influencer, there's like a new skincare product every single day of the week, and it can be really difficult to know which ones to even try, like which one is worth your money. And if you're tired of cycling through ineffective skincare trends and overcomplicated routines, you might be excited to know that one of today's sponsors is OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy. No complicated routines. Just simple, scientifically validated solutions. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. I especially like the eye cream. It's not too thick where you feel like it's going to clog all your pores, but it goes on really, really nicely under makeup. For a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase using the code SHARON when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. Try OneSkin and enjoy younger, healthier skin without all the extra steps. That's oneskin.co, code SHARON. We've all had those embarrassing moments where maybe you've taken your shoes off and you realize like, oh no, that is not a good smell. Fortunately, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is making it so none of us ever have to worry about that again. Unlike certain other products, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a new way. It delivers outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere one might like to use it. In fact, it was patients' concerns about odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Fast forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole-body deodorant now has over 300,000 five-star reviews. And it works without using heavy perfumes that mask odor, which I really appreciate. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, which is my favorite, and two free products of your choice, like deodorant wipes or a mini body wash. It also has free shipping. And as a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that's like 40% off their starter pack. So use code SHARON at LumiDeodorant.com. That's LumiDeodorant.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Why are you feeling the way that you are? Do you not have enough boundaries? Are you less social this time of year? Is the spring sunshine starting to energize you? It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings starting to pick up after the winter. I know so many people who have benefited from talking to a professional in therapy. A qualified mental health professional can help you learn positive coping skills like monitoring and protecting your social battery. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Sharon today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Sharon.
You are also lighting the way for other people who are like, my child is neurodivergent I need hope. They can look at you and the incredible example that you are, and it can give even maybe people who don't have a diagnosis themselves, but who have loved ones that are, it can give them hope. There are so many ways that you don't even fully know that being honest and transparent about your story is helping the world.
Well, thank you for saying that. And it's hard because I always like struggle with thinking of myself as like a role model or something. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, guys, like, please don't. I barely know what I'm doing. But at the same time, though, it makes a difference to see people like you in the world.
It does.
And I think that sometimes it's easy to get kind of caught up in like, the kind of basic level, like look like people like me, oh, someone from my hometown or someone that looks just like me, but so it goes deeper than that.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it's just seeing someone who thinks like you or kind of thinks like you or kind of creates like you or dreams like you or has ideas like you. It's like, oh, like there's a way for me to be out in the world and to have that example. I think it's, yeah, that's really special. Mm. So yeah, I hopefully I can be that.
It's just important for everyone to see at least some part of them represented. Right.
Yeah.
And it can be about, you know, a religious faith, or it can be about an ethnic background, or it can be, you know, a gender or whatever it is, a neurodivergence, other types of diagnosis. It's just, it helps people to see themselves represented.
Yeah. It really does. I think about, you know, just growing up and how when I was a kid, we had the JCPenney catalog. Wow, I'm just like all in the nostalgia realm today.
Man, I loved those things. So thick. Yeah. So yes, much to I look
know,
through.
I know. I think I was like 4 years old or 5 years old. It's so funny. My mom is actually in the next room when we're recording this. I'm like, I wonder if she hears me because I don't remember exactly how old I was. So I think I was like 4 or 5. I'm not sure. But she said that I was going through the JCPenney catalog and I was looking at all the dolls. And I was kind of bummed because all the black dolls were shown as like a little option in a circle in a corner. So like the white doll was the main doll. And then the black doll was like,
Afterthought doll.
Yeah. Afterthought doll. So yeah, I was like, why are all the black dolls in like the little circles? And my mom was like, you should write to JCPenney and ask them. So I
did you?
Or I called. I can't remember. One of the two. I called and I spoke to someone. And you know, I don't know if it was my phone call or whatever, but I actually remember the next one we got the next year, there were some black dolls that were not in a little circle. So, yeah, it's like
I love that. Like we got a phone call from a little girl. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love it.
So yeah, I guess I've been on that train of thought for a while.
Yes. Yes. How do you think the internet has helped people who are neurodivergent? Has the internet been mostly a positive in your life because it's allowed you to find community where it was difficult to do that in person?
That's such a good question. I think it's about 50-50 because even a lot of what I end up creating and sharing on the internet is in response to things that make me anxious on the internet. So yeah, I still regularly feel like, like, I'm not gonna lie, just before this call, before we're talking, I saw someone say something to my sister on YouTube and I was like, nope, that's not okay.
Yeah.
And I definitely responded. And even what I said in that comment, I was talking about empathy and I was just like, you need to have empathy for people. It might take radical courage on your part. I was like, but I promise you a little empathy will make all the difference. And I was like, I need to keep that. I was like, that, I think that applies beyond this comment. So even a lot of times the things that I say are in response to things I've said somewhere else or just internal reactions that I've had. So think about the internet, more specifically social media, the way that these apps are designed, and you know this, I mean, they're designed to like get a reaction out of you.
Oh yeah, and an emotional response.
And the way you see headlines, the way you see things pop up, like all of that is designed to like stir things up. So I feel like I've become, just as someone who shares on the internet a lot, I've become very conscious of that. And I do feel like I'm relatively self-aware when I see things that kind of get me riled up. I'm like, oh, that thing is happening again. It's being presented to you in a way that's supposed to garner a big response, a big reaction, pull back a little bit. And then I just think about, I'm like, wow, but imagine experiencing that if you're not conscious of that.
Yes.
So then you're just angry. And 100%. Anxious a lot and don't know why. And you're like, why do I feel so anxious and shaky and all this stuff? And it's like, no human being was designed to like take in all of this at the same time. It's like on any given person's feed in 60 seconds, you're having to consume world news, community news, your friend who just had a baby,
your crazy somebody, uncle who's drunk posting things.
Yeah, somebody from high school, their pottery business, like you're trying to like take in all of that on any given feed, like in 60 seconds, your experience. It's like, I don't think we were designed to consume information that way. Even if it's just all positive or all neutral, it's still just a lot. So that's why I talk so much about breathing and pacing yourself and taking a moment to rest. Cause I'm like, I just don't think that can be said enough. Cause at any given moment, someone's probably seeing this post and a list of other posts that may have caused some strong reaction within them. So for me, I'm just like, if I can just create something for myself and for others, just to take that moment and say, okay, I can close out of the app now, or I can not worry about all that this very second. I can just, you know, loosen my shoulders or take a deep breath or, you know, do a little stretch. I think that those things matter. I really do. So,
we are living in this like a constant state of heightened nervous system, you know, where I mean, like you're exactly right that what gets interacted with online is stuff that produces an emotional response of some kind. And if it's just completely like, today, the grass grew 1/8 of an inch. Like that doesn't produce an emotional response. Yeah. And so that post is not going to go anywhere. Like it's designed to make you feel like, oh my gosh, it's a disabled dog. Yeah. You know, like it's designed to make
And it's funny too, because even what you said about the grass, I was thinking, I was like, if the right person, you know, in a very heightened state saw that post, they would say, well, actually, it wasn't, you know, 1/8 of an inch. Like, it depends on how you're, who measured it? How did they measure it?
When this other person was president, the grass grew so much more.
Exactly.
You're so right. You're so right. The comments would still be a hot mess inside of a dumpster fire, inside of a train wreck.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll say like, this is not my strongest point in my life, but there are some times where I'm scrolling through like TikTok and I'll see something that's just like completely just innocent, just totally neutral. And I'll try to guess what the argument is in the comments. And it's just, imagine taking that in just over and over and over again. And I think even more so if you're not aware, I've even thought about it like super specifically, might be controversial, but I do not like the feature where you can like a comment I think that that is actually one of the worst features, because when you think about it, it's saying, I need to have the best thing to say that gets the best reaction.
Yeah.
And that's not how conversations work. If four people are sitting in a group debating something, we're not going, ooh, I like that. We all like, that
right.
doesn't exist. Like, everyone has an equal contribution and we're all talking together. So I think sometimes that like feature, knowing that you could get the top liked comment, sometimes it produces witty, funny responses. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times people are like, oh, I'm going for the top comment here. Let me find something wrong. Let me find the thing that no one else has pointed out. And if I could turn that off on my page as a setting, I would, because I'm like, yeah, we should be in competition when we're having a conversation.
Right. I've never thought of that. That is such a good point, that the comments are designed like the feedback loop. If you leave a comment and nobody likes it, then that disincentivizes you from ever saying something similar in the future.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And you're like, I've got to crank it up a notch.
I got to crank it up.
Yeah. That's and right. some people go the humor route. You know, they're like, let me find something funny. But a lot of times, you know, it's easier to be negative than positive. Mm-hmm. So it ends up going the other direction more often. So I do a lot of posts on my feed where I encourage people to respond with like one word, and I try to make it equal playing field. So like yesterday I did something where I printed out a bunch of like encouraging words on a piece of paper, and I zoomed in and I said, what's the word you notice first? So that way it doesn't matter if you are a blue check mark user or you just started Instagram yesterday, like there's room for everybody in this comment section. Like literally you can just interact with it and respond. So yeah, I think about that kind of stuff a lot.
You know, you talk a lot on your Instagram account about peace and about hope. And those are two things that I think everybody craves more of. Yeah. And I think that is one of the reasons your account resonates with so many people. You have millions of followers, is because you are constantly on a daily basis offering people just a little bit of peace, a little bit of hope, a little bit of a like deep breath. And that is so valuable to people. This is one of the things that you said recently that I really loved. You said, hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is the audacity to believe that after everything I've been through, there is more ahead of me. I love that so much.
Listen, I know if you pick up any kind of beauty magazine or you follow an influencer, there's like a new skincare product every single day of the week. And it can be really difficult to know which ones to even try, like which one is worth your money. And if you're tired of cycling through ineffective skincare trends and overcomplicated routines, you might be excited to know that one of today's sponsors is OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy. No complicated routines, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. I especially like the eye cream. It's not too thick where you feel like it's going to clog all your pores, but it goes on really, really nicely under makeup. For a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase using the code SHARON when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. Try OneSkin and enjoy younger, healthier skin without all the extra steps. That's oneskin.co, code SHARON.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Where does your wisdom come from? Because every day I am just like, how much is in this woman's brain?
that means so much. Because honestly, I often feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over.
No, but it's needed. It's needed.
I have kind of landed at a place of, okay, I'm not going to try to talk about every topic, everything on the internet. It's like, it's just impossible. Mm-hmm. So I know for me, I'm like, or even just outside of the internet, I can't write about everything possible. I don't have infinite time. Like, you know, I have a toddler, like I only have so much time to write. So I've decided, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to write about these words that I know for me, I want them in my life, but sometimes I struggle with them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I struggle with what hope is supposed to look like in this season. I struggle with what peace is supposed to look like. And I just end up coming back to those same simple words and ideas over and over again. And I think in coming back to them, I see something different every time. Mm-hmm. I see a slightly different way of saying what I said before. And I feel like what I'm doing is I'm just carving away. I'm like, there's a reason why these words are in our lexicon and they persisted through centuries and we still use them. Mm-hmm. I think there's a reason behind that. If you go back and look, and you can actually look and see like when words were more popular and more used at different points. And there's a lot of words that we used 10 years ago or 20 years ago that we don't even use anymore. So when I think about words like grace and peace and hope, I'm like, amidst all that's going on in the world, amidst all the reasons not to have hope, not to have peace, not to have grace, like there's got to be a reason that these words are still here and that we still end up using them. So for me, I'm just like, yeah, I'm committing to keep digging deeper into these words and mm-hmm. seeing what does hope look like when you've lost a job? That's something I've dealt with before. What does hope look like when you don't have any money? What does hope look like when, you know, you just got a really tough phone call? What is hope in that moment? And it's like, when you break it down like that, it's endless. It's endless possibilities. So that's mm-hmm. one thing I do. And then I also have these filters that I kind of run my words and my art through, is that I oftentimes will think of someone in my mind before I publish anything. And I'll say things to myself like, is this something that I would say or could say to someone who is in a hospital bed and they don't know when they're going to be discharged? Is this something that I could say to someone who is sitting at home and they're watching other people go out and have fun and they don't have transportation or mm-hmm. they don't have the ability to get out or they're allergic to sunlight? So I even think about that. Like, I don't even write a lot about like, go get outdoors, because there's a lot of people scrolling through social media right now, watching people go on hikes, watching people live their lives out in the sun. And maybe they have a condition that keeps them indoors, or, you know, maybe they just had a baby and they feel stuck indoors. I'm like, there's so many reasons why somebody might be scrolling through a social media feed and they're seeing things like, oh, can't do that. I can't do that. So I kind of land at a lot of like, well, here's what you can do. Like, here's something that's still available to you in this moment. So yeah, those are just things I think about. I think about that a lot. I consider myself a very visual person, and I try to hold on to those images with everything I do.
Mm. I also love that you recently had a post that said, now is the time to be who you are made to be, no matter what other people say or think. Mm. What a powerful message. If it's not now, then when?
Exactly.
Mm. I love that.
Totally love that. And that one was, I don't remember who I wrote that for the very, very first time, but a lot of times what I'll do is like, I'll write something and then I'll go back and I'll tweak it or mm-hmm. I'll change the art. So I could kind of end up saying the same things over and over. But one of the strong images with that one is a lot with middle schoolers and high schoolers, because I think especially young people, I know I was like this when I was a kid struggling to fit in. I was like, someday I'll fit in, you know, someday I'll be popular. Little did I know. I mean, 14-year-old Morgan would have been like, whoa, what happened to you on social media? Like, what did you do? Mm-hmm. This is a mistake. But like, you were not cool enough for this. but there's times where I was like that. I'm like, someday, like, these kids will see, you know, that I'm cool, that I'm worthy someday. And I feel like, especially when you're younger, you can kind of think of that, you know, you're like, when I'm in my 20s, when I'm in my 30s, like kind of like that movie 13 going on 30, like when I'm, you know, when I get older, I'm able to be more. But it's like, no, now is the time to be who you were made to be without worrying about what other people think. So that's definitely something teenage me needed to hear.
For sure. Think about all those seventh grade girls who are literally the meanest people on the planet. We're like, dang, Morgan has millions of followers. And who am I?
I was mostly homeschooled, but I tried to go to public school in ninth grade. I know that's not middle school, but I mean, you're barely out of middle school at that point. I remember sitting at a lunch table by myself, this massive table. I sat by myself because I tried to sit somewhere else, and they're like, this seat's taken. So I went and sat by myself, and there was a boy and a girl that walked up, and I was so excited. There, the boy got ready to sit down, and the girl put her hand on his shoulder, looking at me, and said, no one's sitting here. Let's go sit somewhere else.
No. And
that was, it's like, wow, welcome to high school. Since then, I'm at peace with that moment. But at the same time, it's like, what did Morgan need to hear in that second? Because I felt crushed.
Absolutely.
I literally felt invisible. Like, if someone can make eye contact with me and say, no one's sitting here, then what value do I have? That's how I felt then. And I think about, I'm like, you know what? Nowadays, I'm like, whatever. But back then, I'm like, there's probably some teenage girl, some ninth grader dealing with that same thing. So
100% there is. There's adult women who are like, nobody wants to be my friend.
Yeah. That's absolutely a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about the process of writing your books, because you have a book that just came out, but you also have written a number of other books. You're building an empire.
Oh my God. No pressure. Well, that was my last book, so I'm kidding. But yeah. Writing books it's so much fun. I love writing books because it creates structure. I've been very blessed and fortunate that I get to work with a publisher, HarperCollins Zondervan, and I have amazing editors, and my editors keep me in check. They're like, okay, we decided on what a book is about. Here's how many pages there are. So here's a deadline. I love it. I love the rules that come with it, because when I'm just on my own, like, I can just quit stuff. You know, I'm like,
right.
I'm tired of working on this project. I'll move on to something else. But when you have other people, you know, with like official email signatures and stuff, like with deadlines, it's like, okay, this is like a real grown-up project. Let's plan it out. Yeah. So my book, How Far You Have Come, I probably planned that book more than I've done any other project. I started with the color palettes for every section before I even started writing the poems. I was like, what are the colors? Like, and from the colors, I'm like, well, what are the emotions of these colors? Do I want photographs in this chapter? Do I want illustrations? I love doing all that stuff. Like, it's mm-hmm. it's like, when do you get to do that? Like, when do you get to just kind of make something and bring it to life that people are going to get to hold in their hands? So that's kind of how I see it. And then again, like the visual thing, I just imagine someone literally flipping through this book in different places. And the longer my books are out there, the more I have to kind of work with. So I have people who are sharing my book on their social media, so I can see, I'm like, oh, this person is reading the book on their lunch break. So let me think of poems that kind of fit in that space. Oh, this person took this book to the beach. And I kind of imagine those people as I'm writing. So that's a very imaginative process. I love it.
I love that. I love that you are literally picturing an individual who needs to hear this. Mm. You're absolutely hitting that mark for them, and you're hitting the mark for people that you don't even realize.
It never ceases to amaze me. I think that's a good part of the internet. I mean, it allows you, which I'm sure you have experienced too. It just allows you to hear stories and connect with people that you never would have known you would have been able to cross paths with. So
100%. We would probably not be talking today. I know. If it wasn't for the internet.
Yeah.
I also love that you say there are so many things you do not know yet, but amidst it all, you can still know peace. I love that. The certainty is not what is required to know peace.
Exactly. Amen to that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You are a national treasure. And you absolutely are a national treasure. Oh. It is a pleasure to get to talk to you one-on-one. I think everybody needs to follow you and also buy your books.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And I'm so sorry I laughed when you said national treasure. I should have said thank you, but it's just, again, the visual person thing. I literally saw Nicolas Cage in my mind right when you said it.
Like stealing the Declaration of Independence.
I was like, no.
No.
Like, just, that's where my brain went.
So. Someday, though, Morgan, there's going to be a university literature class called The Work of Morgan Harper Nichols, and they will dissect all of your messages, all of your phrasing, all of your artwork, all of your color palettes.
Oh my goodness.
Like, that is a thing that will happen.
That means so much to me. I mean, I have so much respect for educators and just spaces where people can learn. And if I can be a part of that in any capacity, like I got a message from a middle schooler earlier this year they all had to highlight like an artist, a Black artist for Black History Month. And one of them selected me, and I was just like, me? I'm like,
yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, you have so 100% many options. You. I was like, you have so many options. Are you sure? But that means a lot. It really does.
Now is the time to be who you were made to be, Morgan.
Yes, exactly. I need a year too. Yep.
I love it. Too. So your website, morganharpernichols.com, your books are on there. All of your happenings are there, and on your Instagram.
Yes. Yes. You can find me at Morgan Harper Nichols on Instagram or morganharpernichols.com. So try to make it easy, and all my books are on there, and come hang out.
Digitally. Don't actually come to my house.
Please don't.
No, that will not end well.
I probably won't answer anyway.
No,
I don't
like
answering the doorbell.
So. No, of course not. I don't answer the doorbell. I'm like, I will.
I just assume it's a package every time.
I assume it's somebody I don't wish to speak to. Exactly. I hide in my room until they leave.
Exactly.
And then I will go see what they left.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that works for me.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for doing this. I love you, and I love this conversation.
Yes. And hopefully we can cross paths in real life at some point.
I would love that. Yes. At a time that we both feel comfortable. Thank you so much again.
Thank you so much for listening to the Sharon Says So podcast. I am truly grateful for you. And I'm wondering if you could do me a quick favor. Would you be willing to follow or subscribe to this podcast, or maybe leave me a rating or a review? Or if you're feeling extra generous, would you share this episode on your Instagram stories or with a friend? All of those things help podcasters out so much. I cannot wait to have another mind-blown moment with you next episode. Thanks again for listening to the Sharon Says So podcast.